Company culture, the way we do things round here. Outcomes. 1. Understand the importance of a positive, collaborative company culture. 2. Understand how mentorship can repair and improve problems with professionalism and culture. Professionalism is about a polished, predictable way in which any executive behaves. Principles of professionalism include beliefs like, I will do what I agree to do, and if I am running late, I will inform someone who may be waiting for me. Things like respect, accountability, collaboration, and shared goals all fall under the same umbrella as professionalism and company culture. Mentoring systems work. They are part of the healthy hygiene factors that help make sure that people in the company are polished and professional in the way they behave. In companies that are new to mentoring, starting such a system helps correct many of the issues that arise as part of rapid growth or poor management. Communication breakdowns, people stuck in their ways, inflexibility, poor morale, higher rates of stress, incidents of bullying or intolerance, these things are part and parcel of every environment, but when they are not handled properly or they become too frequent, then the signs are there. Culture needs to be improved. Change is constant. Changes happen with both good and bad consequences. Even supposedly good changes can take a toll on company culture negatively. Let's use an example to see how this might happen: a maintenance service company, growing from humble roots. Gleam Cleaning Company. Two founders, old friends, left their jobs at a large company and started a cleaning service. For a couple of years, they grew slowly, with a core team of 10 people mostly drawn from old friends and connections. Once their reputation was established, business started to grow rapidly. Services broadened, and over 10 years they eventually ended up supplying staff and support to major building projects across the country. Clients grew in number, employees increased, and the whole place suddenly felt big and corporate. People who were there from the beginning struggled with this sense of size and growth. When interviewed, they said things like the following: I'm not designed for this. It's all the same to me. We don't need any of that new stuff. We didn't need it before. Why should we need it now? Old bosses found it hard to manage bigger teams. Some of them became anxious and mentally indecisive. Others became aggressive and bullied their juniors, micromanaging them too. Why would these things happen? Because of a simple truth: when company culture turns bad, it's not because the people are bad. The systems and structures are bringing out defensive and unhelpful behaviors from good people. Most people behave in ways that are in response to their environment and the situations they are in. Stressful situations bring out the more basic, defensive, emotionally driven behaviors rather than the logical, cooperative, collaborative behaviors that happen when not under pressure. Bad behaviors can be transmitted downwards or sideways. Bosses who behave irrationally or rudely are, without knowing it, giving permission for their subordinates to pass this on down the line. Examining human behavior for a few moments will help us understand this better. Here is a model of the human mind with its three main sources of thought leading to three main styles of decision. So when stressed or under pressure, or when not encouraged or rewarded for thinking with their finer judgment, people tend to resort to more impulsive, rash, emotional styles of thinking. To imagine what that is like, imagine all the instincts that primitive tribes have. Obsession with hierarchy and status rather than openness and fairness. Self-preservation rather than taking initiative or spreading goodness. Anger and aggression rather than discussion and understanding. Seeking to win and dominate rather than share and collaborate. Avoiding change rather than seeking to innovate and improve. Paranoia and suspicion rather than trust. Self-doubt rather than self-belief. Greed and instant gratification. Blaming others rather than taking responsibility. And so on. Why does mentoring help? because it invites, within its very practice, the better qualities of human nature. From a mentee's perspective, being with a senior person as a mentee, and learning things from them not directly to do with your performance, gives you the space to see them as human, fallible, and inspires you to believe in both them and yourself more. From a mentor's perspective, hearing about a junior person's issues and hopes reminds you of your own story, and makes your mentee's problems easier to understand. You learn to respect them if you see yourself in their shoes, and you grow to become interested in their growth because they come to you for your wisdom. You begin to feel valued for this reason. It is gratifying to help someone achieve good things. Mentoring relies on the compassion and interest that we have for one another as human beings. The result of a good mentoring process is a slow and steady reversal of negative culture, because being heard and helped as a human being has a contagious effect on both the person being helped and the one giving the help. Openness and fairness come to the fore, rather than defensiveness and blame. Human beings are more effective when we share ideas and work together with consideration, respect, and encouragement rather than harshness, threats, and disrespect. Sense and wisdom come when we start to pause our feelings, the ego, and instead look to the intellect and center for ways forward. Collaboration, wisdom, and compassion is perhaps our most distinctive advantage as a species. It is the edge that helped us succeed. Notice how those things are central to good culture. We are not yet fully there, though. Human beings are dominated by emotions, especially when we are stressed, rushed, or uncertain. One important point of professionalism is that it's not about being perfect or free from error. It is quite the opposite. It is how we can keep reflecting on what we have done, being sympathetic to our mistakes and our failures, and continuing to try to move forward because we are, above all, human. Reflection assignments. 1. Consider the three-part model of the mind as presented. Does negative behavior map onto one specific part more than the others? How can the other parts help? 2.It is said that you shouldn't take your ego, your emotions, to work. Do you think this is good advice? What are the pluses and minuses of this approach?